So, a big welcome to the first Stoppage Time podcast with me, Ethan Morland, your host of the Stoppage Time podcast, where we talk all things Premier League, all things football that's going on right now. Interestingly enough, as I'm recording this, Bournemouth manager Scott Parker has just been sacked, which is looking a bit more like it has come off the back of a dispute between the owners and himself rather than a 9-0 defeat to Liverpool at the weekend. The statement that was brought out looks to be a bit iffy in terms of it's not about the defeat, it was more about the alignment of his views and theirs. So it's probably best they've parted ways with him. But I mean, like, we're what, 4 game weeks into the season? It's just not, I just don't think it's the right move. I think you stick with your guns with a manager like that. He's trying his best. You're not bringing anyone in. You've only signed 3 players on a free and paid for 2. So it's not looking like it's the best decision, in my opinion. But there you go. I'm just a fan. I have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. Anyway, moving on from that. It is game week 5 starting this evening. I say this evening, it's tomorrow for me. I am based in Melbourne. I've just moved here, and obviously the game week is starting on Tuesday back in the UK, but it'll be 4:30 a.m. over here, which will be fun for me to get up and watch. However, so the Tuesday games we have got on our hands are Crystal Palace, Brentford. We've got Fulham, Brighton, Southampton, Chelsea, Leeds against Everton. Now, if we look at the Palace-Brentford game, if we have a look at their timelines, you know, Palace at the end of the day, I don't know, it's a bit, they've not had a bad start. They've had a draw against Liverpool, big point. You know, they've beaten Villa, if I remember correctly. They've obviously lost to Arsenal, lost to City. They've not had the easiest run, but then they're playing, you know, a decent Brentford side, which have only lost 1 game so far this season, which no one really predicted, especially that big 4-0 win to United. I think, if I'm honest, if Wilfried Zaha isn't fit, I think it's going to be a tough, tough game for Palace to get a win out of. So if I'm going for it, I'm going to say Brentford in this one. I'm going to go Brentford 2-1. That Eberechi Eze looks like a talent in the making. He is going to be in that England setup within easy the next year. I think he might be one of the wild cards we take to the World Cup with us, but you never know. He's coming off the back of that long Achilles injury. He is looking like he's in good form. He's showing his talents, but we'll see. I'm going 2-1 Brentford for that one. Okay, so next we have Fulham against Brighton. Now, this is an interesting one. Fulham aren't doing too bad. We all thought Fulham were going to be shit at the start of this season. They've lost 1 game, they've drew 2, and they've won 1. And, you know, to get a point out of Liverpool again, and to, you know, to draw with Wolves, it's just, they're looking good. I think the thing with Fulham is that they're adjusting to the not having as much possession in the Premier League. In the Championship, they love it. They have as much possession as they want. They run rings around teams, whereas in the Premier League, it's the opposite. So they're adapting. Marco Silva is doing a brilliant job of just playing more direct football, playing it up top rather than passing it around the defence and the midfield. Just getting it up top as fast as possible and capitalising on chances. It's great. It's great to see. They're doing well. But they're going up against the Brighton side that haven't lost this season. And, you know, Brighton, off the back, everyone's saying it, off the back of losing the 2 best players in Bissouma and Cucurella, we all thought they were going to be in a bit of turmoil and weren't going to be performing. There was going to be, you know, a decent amount of losses. Graham Potter's job would have been in question, but no. The man is a managerial mastermind by the looks of it. He's like, he's pulling off a mega job there at Brighton. Like, to go your first four games undefeated with that team is, you know, it's some unreal work from him. And that team is looking good. Pascal Gross is, he looks like he's coming out of his shell, man. Like, he's, you know, he's performing. He's like taking that attention away from Bissouma, away from Cucurella, and he's putting in decent performances. Like, I think he scored three in the four games that he's played. Like, you can't fault the man, you know. And looking at it, like, in four games they've conceded one goal. A Brighton team, bang average Brighton team on paper, has conceded one goal in those opening four games. Like, that was against United. So fair play to them. Like, you can't. With this one, it's a bit of a tough one to predict. Brighton in midweek last year lost four of their seven midweek games and didn't win a single one. So let's see if Graham Potter can pull off a magical job and turn that around. But it's looking like a bit of a grey area in terms of like the squad depth, which it seems to be where they're struggling. So maybe I'm going to go this one, a 2-2. I'm going to go a draw. It's got to be. Okay, so next game we've got on our hands is the... Where's it gone? There, Southampton-Chelsea. Now, Chelsea are just... So, Wesley Fofana, at the time of speaking, is undergoing his medical in New York. They've obviously sent him to New York because of his Achilles injury that he had last year. You know, the owners want to be sure that there's nothing wrong with him. That's fair enough. So he's over there. He won't be ready to play in this game. Might be ready for the weekend. But the problem is with Chelsea at the minute is their striking options. They don't have any. Obviously, Lukaku just flumped last year. He was shocking. They've brought in Sterling and they've got Havertz up top. But it's, you know, they're not prolific out-and-out goal scorers, which I think is where the issue lies. They haven't got this end product that they so desire from the players. And, you know, bringing in Aubameyang would probably do a job. I think he would be a great signing for them. The problem is his discipline. But that's something else to, you know, go over another day. But the thing is, I think with this one, Southampton are looking like they're having a bit of a troubling time. Like, they are. So Southampton are sat down in 13th. They've lost 2, drew 1, won 1. And, you know, some of these games, they should, like the Leeds game, they came from behind. That's fair enough. They showed a bit of fight, but they're just not looking like they got any end product themselves. Like, if I'm being totally honest, this is going to be a game where we're going to see a few goals on Chelsea's off, but it's going to really show Southampton's problems up top. They're going to miss Armando Broya this season. They haven't really, like, Joe Aribo, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, but he's not going to fill that role up top that they so need. So with this one, it's got to be a 3-1 to Chelsea easily. And then also on that, actually, defensively, bringing in Wesley Fofana is going to be great for them, because obviously they're having a few troubles, like Koulibaly, fucking stupid, getting sent off for two yellow cards when you're 3-0 down. There's just no need for it. But it shows that they're bringing in Wesley Fofana as a one for the future as well, because Thiago Silva's getting on, Koulibaly's getting on. You know, they need to start looking towards the future with this one. So I think the signing of Wesley Fofana is going to be a good one for them. Okay, so next we got Leeds against Everton. Now, this is a tough one for me because Everton are one of those clubs. They got a bit close. They're a bit close to me because, you know, members of the family support Everton and you want to see them do well. And even as a Liverpool fan myself, it's like you don't want to see Everton get relegated. But this year, I'm really struggling to see where Everton are picking up points. Neil Mopay, you know, sign him all you want. He isn't going to bring any end product. Yeah, he scored a few goals for Brighton, but his most in a Premier League season is 10. He's not your prolific goal scorer. I know it's like, it's probably a very, very unpopular opinion, but Calvert-Lewin himself is championship striker at best. Don't rate him whatsoever. They haven't got a prolific goal scorer. And if they want to call Calvert-Lewin a prolific goal scorer, then he's injured all the time, so they don't have one starting week in, week out. And then, you know, you look at Anthony Gordon. Is he going to fill that role? I personally don't think he will. I would have sold him for 60 million, got rid and signed a decent, renowned striker. Not world class, because obviously they're not going to attract anyone like that this year. It's just a tough one for Everton. They've built the defence, and that's fine. They, you know, they're looking pretty solid mid-table at the back, but up front they've just got no end product. It's going to be so hard for them to get goals this year, and I think they're really, really going to struggle. They've got two draws and two losses this year, and they're sat in 18th, exactly where they were for a lot of last season. And it's just, I think, obviously, one of the relegation spots is already going to be taken. That's going to be Bournemouth. I think we all agree on that. It's going to be Bournemouth. But Everton really, really are looking like they're going to go down. Their owners don't want to spend money. They just look like they're going to struggle. And especially if there's injuries that come about, you know, to the main players like Connor Cody or anyone like that. I think when you lose a leader, if they lose a leader like that in that team, they are done. And then obviously Dele Alli's gone. He just looked like he can't be arsed anymore. He looks like his head's gone. It looks like, in my opinion, it's like money. He's earned all the money in the world. What does he need to work for now? And I'm going to be honest, if that was me, probably would be the same. But it's just, you wish the lad had worked out at Everton, because if he had sort of revived his career that was at Tottenham of 2 or 3 years ago, I feel like Everton would not be in this situation they are in now. He would be creating chances. He would be building. The team morale would be great, all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, another Everton problem, I think personally, is Alex Iwobi. He looks like a fucking headless chicken running around after the ball. Looks like he has no clue what he's doing. I wouldn't even say he's championship level. I'd say he's League One. He just looks like he's got no clue whatsoever what to do. And for me, I just can't understand, even when he was at Arsenal, I can't understand why Everton have looked at him and gone, 20 million. 20 million there. It's baffling. Where on earth would you, why would you throw 20 million on a player like that? And then the wages he's probably on are, I don't even want to know. I'd probably end up, like me, I'd end up in steam. It's baffling, the money that Everton have thrown at some of these players over the recent years that have put them in the situation that they're in currently. He's moved into that sort of number eight role. He's looking a bit better, but still, again, championship level player. It doesn't make sense. And then, you know, looking at Leeds, Jesse Marsh, what a job he is doing so far this year. Like, we all doubted them, you know, selling Rafinha, selling Calvin Phillips, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, I was thinking the same thing. You know, you're selling your two best players, what are you going to do? And then he's bringing in these American lads. And obviously, as Brits, we all go, what are you doing? Why are you bringing in these Americans? They don't, you know, I play for Red Bull Salzburg, Leipzig. Like, you know, he's obviously worked with them, but it's doing a job. Aronson up top is looking like a dream for him. Like, he's constantly pressing. The work rate from the lad is impeccable. And then, you know, it looks like they've lowered the intensity of what they were doing under Bielsa. And it looks like it's paying dividends, because the lads don't look like they're completely fatigued week in, week out. They look like they were done in within 45 minutes under Bielsa towards the end of his time there. And it looks like Jesse Marsh has come in with a different approach. You know, you hear stuff like Bielsa didn't have personal relationships with the lads because they wouldn't like him as a person. And, you know, fair enough, if that's how you want to be. But eventually I feel like that's going to take its toll. It doesn't breed for a good team environment to be in. I feel like, you know, you need that connection with the coach and that personality that Jesse Marsh brings to that dressing room, and it's, you know, with the coaches around him as well, he's having personal relationships with all the players and stuff like that. He's getting to know them, he's getting to know what they're doing, and it's looking like it's working. It's looking like he's built that chemistry in that team again and making these players look like Premier League quality. And for me, I think they stay up this year. I think they stay up comfortably, probably finishing the top 10, if I'm honest, on a good day. So in this game, I've got to give it to Jesse Marsh's men, and it's gonna be a 2 or a 3-1. I can't see where Everton are getting more than a goal from. I feel like this is gonna be it. Over each game, I feel like Everton are gonna get a goal. The goal here and there, they'll win one or two here and there, but they're just not gonna get the end product, and it's gonna be frustrating for Everton fans to see, especially. I feel like they're going to be unveiling this new Bramley Moor Dock Stadium to the Championship. This massive stadium, this new high-tech stadium, they're going to be unveiling it in the Championship. And that would be brutal for them. I feel like it would just, especially for the owners, that feel like it just hit hard. I think Lampard's trying his best, and he's not getting the backing to buy these players that he wants. And I just feel like he's going to be gone by Christmas. He's trying his hardest, but it's just not going to work for him, I don't think. So I think it's going to be a 3-1 to Leeds. Okay, so then we're moving on to the Wednesday night fixtures. We have 5 of them on Wednesday night. So first up, off the back of that sacking, we've got Bournemouth versus Wolves. Now, Wolves are having a bit of a tough time of it. There seems to be something not going right behind the scenes, and I can't quite figure it out what it is. They don't seem to be creating much. There's not really anything there. Like, they're sat in the same position as Everton. They drew 2, lost 2. They had a chance to win against Newcastle on the weekend. They looked like the better team, but then like Hwang Ki-chan goes and, with a shit clearance straight to Alan Saint-Maximin, and fair enough, what a goal it was. Probably up there with goals of the season so far, but you can't be clearing a ball like that. It was so poor, and for the 90th minute, and then they could have even gone and lost it. Like, they could have gone and lost it after that, and it just shows they haven't got this, I don't know, this fight. And then obviously there's something going on because the likes of Willy Bolly, he's in the first team squad, and then he's not turning up to the game. So it's not looking good. But, you know, Bournemouth after the sacking, I just think they're not going to be in a good place after, especially after that 9-0 win, and Scott Parker basically saying his players are shit. They, you know, off the back of that, you expect your manager to come out and go, look, we need to sign players, all that, fair enough. Yeah, they do need to sign players. But what you don't need to be doing is saying, basically, my players, I expect it. They're not up to level, because that's going to put them so down. They are not. I can't even imagine what that training session was like on the Monday. That would have been horrible to have been in. I feel like that the players would have, it would have been silent in the dressing room, silent in the canteen. Like, it just, it wouldn't have bred well within that team. With I haven't heard those comments, what Scott Parker has said about all those players. Yes, he didn't go into individuals, but, you know, yeah, they'll know who he's talking about in terms of that performance. They'll know personally what he's thinking. So it's not, I just feel like Wolves going to walk away with this one, 2-3. I feel like Bournemouth's morale is going to be way in the floor. They're just not looking good for this one. So yeah, 2 or 3-0 to Wolves for that one. And then moving on, we got City Nottingham Forest. Like, you know, I think City, that first half, they looked shit. They really did. They just looked like they weren't there. The chemistry wasn't there. But then obviously that Pep Guardiola magic at half time, like, I don't know what you say to them. 4 times in the past, I think it's 7 games, they've been behind 2-0 and come back and they've not lost a single one of them. What he must say, he must rile them lads up in that dressing room and proper get them going. Like, I don't know, Pep Guardiola just breeds quality to me. He breeds absolute quality in that team. And he could bring in fucking Alex Iwobi and make him look like a Champions League winner. Pep Guardiola has that thing about him. He's pure passion. He's dedication. And that, like, Kevin De Bruyne's looking at his best. You know, Erling Haaland looks scary. The third goal he scored against Palace on the weekend was exactly what City have been looking for. Is that striker who's going to get in between the defenders. He's going to pick up the ball and just muscle them off. And he can finish anything. And, you know, we're all going, oh, he's only had this many touches and this, that, the other. I don't think it matters. The lad is picking up a ball. He's having, like, what I think it was 16 touches and scoring 3 goals. He is world class. And I think that these days is what you need from a striker, is someone who is in the right position constantly and can pick up a ball, muscle off a defender and place a ball exactly where he wants it, at the back of the net. And, you know, Haaland, if he can stay fit season through, I think 35 goals this year. 35 goals. You can't knock him. Like, he's just looking like he's on another level. He's scary. Like, as a Liverpool fan, I think when we face them, he's going to cause us some problems, especially if we've got injuries. And then, you know, Nottingham Forest, they've signed 19 players, and usually that screams of alarm bells, because it makes us think that there's no chemistry within the squad because no one knows each other. But they're looking like a decent side. Like, they are looking like they could, this. So at the weekend when they, you know, in the 2-0 loss to Tottenham, yeah, they lost 2-0, but in the middle of the park, they were looking great. It was just defensively and obviously attacking. Like, that second goal they conceded, who in the fucking right mind was marking Harry Kane? No one was marking Harry Kane during that game. And it was sort of infuriating, because it's like, you know, they could have come out with that with a respectable 1-0 loss, and then they come out having conceded a goal like that. But they are looking decent, and I don't think they're going to have too much of a problem staying up in the Premier League this year. I think, you know, I think your main ones that are going to go down are going to be Bournemouth, Everton and Villa. They're going to be your ones that are going to struggle. Maybe Southampton. We don't know. But I think they're going to be your main three strugglers. But that game, the City, not Nottingham Forest one, I think City walk all over them every day of the week. I think it's going to be a 4 or a 5, especially at home. Like, they're just, yeah, it's just not, Nottingham Forest aren't going to have a good day of it. And I think Dean Henderson is just going to make a tit of himself again, like he did on the weekend, celebrating, saving that penalty and then conceding another like he just won the game. But anyway, your next game after that, Arsenal Villa. Like, Arsenal's run in this start of the season, man, is just, they've had it decent. Like, yeah, starting off at Palace is tough. Like, Palace are a decent side, but they come out with a result. You know, they're getting knocked for celebrating that 2-1 win against Fulham. What is it? Like, I don't get why people are getting so infuriated by the fact that they're celebrating this win. They've played 4-1-4. And, you know, last season they played 3-3. And let them celebrate. Like, this is looking like a Champions League squad. They've had an exceptional window in bringing in Gabriel Jesus. Fabio Vieira, who looks like a decent talent. Zinchenko, Saliba coming back. He's looking like a powerhouse at the back. You just can't be knocking a squad for celebrating a 2-1 win when you're coming back from 1-0 behind. And, like, they're just showing this pure fight, which at the end of last season they didn't have. They had the chance of getting the Champions League football at the end of last year, and we all saw on the All or Nothing them absolutely fucking bottle the Champions League spot. You know, so they're showing this fight that they didn't have at the end of last season, and I'm all for it. Let them celebrate. They're looking good. But then on the other end of the spectrum, Aston Villa, they've signed players and they've had a bit of bad luck with obviously injuries and stuff like that, with the main man. I think he also ruptured his Achilles as well. And, you know, Boubacar Kamara looks like a decent signing, but the squad just isn't gelling. I don't know what it is. Like, on paper, Villa should be at least in the top 10, like, with, you know, Philip Coutinho, Danny Ings, these kinds of players. Like Danny Ings, I think he's one of the best number nines in the Premier League. He's up there. He's obviously not the best, but he's like, I think he's in that top five talk. He does a decent job week in, week out. I think Villa should be in a better position than they are, you know, like with Emiliano Martinez. He's a world-class goalkeeper, absolutely top draw. They're just having a bad time of it. And Steven Gerrard, I don't know. You hear like, oh, it's about the Steven Gerrard show and this, that, the other. And yeah, it is looking like it's more about Gerrard than the squad. But Villa fans are very quick to forget the players that he's brought in. Like Philippe Coutinho would not be at Aston Villa if it wasn't for Steven Gerrard. Let's just get that straight. He would not be there if it wasn't for Steven Gerrard. So a world-class player like Coutinho, if Gerrard leaves, I think he's gone the next year. Within a year, he's left. He'll go abroad, whatever, because he wants to be working with people who he knows and in a squad that he enjoys being in. And I think a part and parcel of that is being under the management of Gerrard. I just don't think, like, Villa fans are screaming out for him to be sacked. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You want a decent manager. Like, he's had the experience of Rangers, yes. You know, it's one of them where it's a shit league, this, that, the other. But he won them their first league premiership since they went into administration and obviously got relegated to the fourth division. But I think Gerrard still has something to bring to the table. I think he just needs a bit of backing to sign another defender because obviously Tyrone Mings has lost the captaincy. He's still looking like a decent player, but like Konsa, I just don't think he's going to do it for them. It's just looking like a bit of a struggle at the back. So I think he needs a bit more backing to sign a defender. And then maybe, obviously, if that defender doesn't pan out, then it's time to call it quits with him. But yeah, this one, I think Arsenal walk away with it 2-0. Gabriel Jesus is looking like a menace up top for them. Not like, you know, obviously he's not scoring all the goals, but fuck it. Look at the runs this lad is making, the hold up play that he has. He's so strong, and it's something we didn't see at City because obviously he just didn't fit their system. And I think what we're going to see over this year is this world class talent in Gabriel Jesus. The talent that we saw when City brought him over from Brazil, that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing this unreal player come out, and I think he's enjoying his football more now that he's there. Like, it's like Zinchenko as well. He is looking at his absolute best. Like, he fits the system. They're letting him play how he wants, and it's working well. The business from Arsenal this summer is unreal. To bring in winners, serial winners, like how many times have them two won the Premier League, like the League Cup, all that? They are serial winners. They know how to do it. They've got the motivation. And then you're bringing in these two to a dressing room which was struggling. Look at them now. They're looking very, very good, and you can't knock it. So, yeah, I think 2-0 Arsenal at least. The next Thursday game, we've got West Ham against Tottenham. Now, this one's a tough one for West Ham. I think Tottenham are looking very, very good. Very, very good. They obviously drew with Chelsea. Oh, I don't know, shouldn't have been a draw. Romero should have been sent off, but that's a chat for another. Like, it's in the past now. They got a point out of that, that's fair enough. They had three wins, one draw this season against a West Ham side who seemed to be struggling in the league. Obviously, they got off the mark with a deflection, a 1-0 win with a deflection on Fornals shot at the weekend. But, you know, I think this Tottenham team is too strong. I think Harry Kane is looking back to how he was during the, you know, 2020-21 season, where at the end of it, City were trying to sign him. I think he's looking back to that level. And then obviously with the addition of Richarlison, he is going to cause some problems this year with that team. Bringing him on as an impact sub is going to work wonders for them. And then him paired with Kulusevski, Son, you know, Romero at the back, they're looking like a solid, solid side. And then, you know, bringing in the likes of Perisic, I think that signing the Perisic it's an unreal one because he's so experienced and he's such a high-level player that Tottenham would never usually get. But obviously, he sees what Antonio Conte is trying to do with this Tottenham side and he's all for it. You know, this Tottenham side is looking very, very good. But West Ham, you know, they've had a decent window. The second highest spenders in the Premier League now. after signing Lucas Paqueta, whatever it is, after signing him, you know, he's looking like a decent midfielder, but I just think they're going to struggle in this one. Like, I think West Ham are going to have a decent season. They're going to come out of this shit spell. But I think this one is going to be, you know, a 2-1, 3-1 maybe to Tottenham. I think it's just going to be a decent win for them, comfortable one. And yeah, so next one, Liverpool, Newcastle. Now, this one, I don't have good feelings about. As a Liverpool fan, I don't have good feelings about. The problem is with Liverpool that we have so many injuries that, you know, a lot of them are long-term. Like, Chamberlain's out for God knows how long. There's no timeline on the Thiago return. You know, you've got Konate out for at least probably another month. Jota is unlikely for even the Merseyside derby. It's just looking like a really, really tough one for Liverpool at the minute. They've had a shit run of it these past few weeks, and then they come out with a 9-0 win at Bournemouth. And that is what we didn't need was that 9-0 win, because now to the owners, this looks like, oh, we're okay. We are not okay. We beat a shit Bournemouth side who are championship level, 9-0. We've walked over them, but we have injury problems. Between now and the World Cup, we have two games a week, every single week. Players are going to get run down, and it's guaranteed players are going to be injured. God forbid that Van Dijk or Nunez or Salah get injured in that time frame, because we are really, really going to struggle. We're already struggling as it is. You know, losing to United, that's a tough one to take. Yeah, United were good that night. We were shit. But it's just a really, really tough one, because at the minute, we're not signing a midfielder. We've got no backups. Defensively, Van Dijk and Gomez look like they're struggling together. They don't look like the chemistry is there between them like it is between Van Dijk and Matip, or, you know, Van Dijk and Konate. It's just not the same. It's not looking as good. And then, like, yeah, we brought in Calvin Ramsey, but he's been injured since he came in. And so there's no pressure on Trent, and there's no backup for Trent, really, to fill that gap other than Gomez. But obviously, we've now got him at centre-back, and it's like, you know, there's certain positions like that, right-back position, centre-back, the central midfield. Central midfield's a funny one because we have Milner, Henderson, Fabinho, but then Naby Keita is injured as well. We've got three, but they're all getting on. Like, we've got Carvalho and Elliot are there to sort of fill gaps, but they're not at the stage where Jurgen Klopp, in the way he plays, is going to be playing him week in, week out. And I think we need that, like, up and coming, sort of like 24, 25, he's got experience, centre mid, who's going to sort of run the show. But the owners aren't going to put the money in. I think the net spend in the past 8 years is 10 million. And it just shows the owners are money, they're there for the money. They're there to take the money, take it over to their whatever sports they're interested in America. And it's frustrating because I think eventually in the next few years, it's going to come back to bite Liverpool in the arse, and we're going to really, really struggle when we lose the likes of Salah, Van Dijk, all them. When they get a bit older, I feel like we're going to struggle to bring players in, because, like, you know, we brought in Van Dijk and Alisson, but that was only off the back of the Coutinho money. Who are we selling now for 140 million? Who's going to pay for these other players to come in? I don't see anyone in that squad we can afford to get rid of that we can then buy these other players. It just doesn't bode well. I think Newcastle, the signing of Isak, he's probably going to be playing tomorrow night, on Thursday night. Wednesday night. Oh, it's a tough one. Yeah, with the signing of Isak, you know, Newcastle are looking like a solid, solid side this year. I think they could probably push for Conference, maybe Europa League, if they really, really are on it this year. Eddie Howe is doing an unbelievable job there. He's taking his time with the signings. He's not pushing. He's looking for the right players, and he's fitting them to his system. And it's doing wonders for him. And I think January, there's more to come from them. I think he's going to sign even more players. And it's just going to be, I think they're going to be one of the tougher teams to play against this year. Like, we saw it against City. They go 3-1 up against the City side, who were just left like, what on earth is going on here? It was, like, no one expected it. But for them to take a point at City, take it any day of the week. Like, you're saying to me, two years ago, they would not have gone to City expecting anything. They wouldn't have expected anything at City 2 years ago. So now they're going to City and they know what they can do. They know where they're playing, how they're playing and what they can do to that team. And, you know, you got to respect them for it. And I think, if I'm honest, this one is going to be another draw for Liverpool. It's infuriating to say, but with Nunes on his last game of his ban, I think we're going to struggle up top against this Newcastle side. It will probably come out very defensive. And I think it's going to be a 1-1 or a 2-2 again. Okay, and then, so the last game of game week 5 is Leicester Man United. Now, this is Leicester are a tough one this year. I think Brendan Rodgers is going to be one of the first to go. I don't think he should go. I think they should keep him on. They've not allowed him to sign anyone this summer. Obviously, they've put money into the training ground and stuff like that, and that's fair enough, but you've got to allow the man to sign some players. Like, he's going to get 70 million for Fofana, and I feel like if he doesn't replace anyone, bring anyone in, like at least another centre back, they're going to really, really struggle this year, and I think they're going to be bottom half of the table. But then Man United, like, I've got to give props to Ten Hag. Like, he's come in and done what no other Man United manager has done recent years, where he's come in and disrupted the squad, where he's looked at it and gone, you're out of form, you're out of form, you're out of form, you're all going on the bench. No one has done it. Harry Maguire last season was shit, but Ranieri was playing him week in, week out. It makes no sense. But he's come in, he's taken out Maguire, and he's found this, like, this decent partnership between Martinez and Varane, where Martinez likes to push on players. He likes to get aggressive and push on him and make the tackle. And then Varane sits behind as a sweeper, ready to pick up the pieces. And it's working well in the past two games. Like, you can't follow it. And then Malacia is like, he's like this breath of fresh air that's coming to United. And I don't think anyone's expected much from this young lad. And he's come in at left back, and the passion, like him and Martinez, the passion that they have brought to this squad is something United have needed for years. You look at the United squad and you think, you're miserable, and you're fucking miserable on that pitch. They are bringing in like this level of passion that they have wanted for God knows how long, probably since Ferguson left. And I think, you know, they're trying to bring in Anthony, and I think, yeah, fair enough, decent signing, but I don't think he's the answer to all the problems up top. I think the main problem at the minute is either giving Ronaldo the game time he needs or getting rid, because I can't imagine what a shit dressing room that is going to be in if Ronaldo is there not playing week in, week out. You can't be at he has not worked at the level he has for his entire career to be benched. He is, like, he scored 24 goals last year. He is not in a position where he should be getting benched. Any other team, he gets in. But for some reason, obviously, they're not starting him. And, you know, you got to trust the process with Ten Hag and what have you. But if that's the case, then let him go. Because he's not going to be good to be around in that dressing room. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems and bring a few players down if it carries on and they don't get rid of him. I think it's just going to be a real struggle for this United side. But I think in this game, United walk away with it. I think Fernandez, when you take Ronaldo out of the squad, he's looking like a completely next-level player. Like, the player they brought in initially, that second half of the season when he came in and was, like, a banging in goals and assists, left, right and centre, game in, game out. I think he's looking like that player again. He's looks like he's got his passion back, especially now he's being given the captain's armband because Maguire's on the bench. I think it's just, you know, I think he's looking like a very, very good player again. So in this one, I think it's got to be like United win, and it's probably going to be 1-0 or 2-0. Like, I just, for Anthony, the thing is, like, yeah, he's a good build up player, but he's got no end product. Like, I think last year he had 4 goals and 2 assists all season. Bear in mind, that's in a shit league as well, in the Eredivisie. And
you know, they're looking for this front man, but he's not. Yeah, he's got, you know, he's gonna be there in a build up play, but it's just not for me. Like, a winger's got to have the goals and assists in him, and I don't think he has it. And you know, you can't really look at the money anymore. 100 million, it's madness. It's absolute madness what they're paying for this man. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. They've got to pay a premium because it's coming to the end of the transfer window. At the time of talking, we're two and a half days away from the end of the transfer window. So, you know, that's just how it's got to be. But yeah, I think this one, they walk away with it 1-0. So it's not bad for United. I think, yeah, they're going to come out with a decent win again, three on the bounce. Okay, so that is the end of the Stoppage Time Football podcast. It's been the first one, so it's been a weird one. It's a, you know, it's just a all in one, no edits, talking about the game week, and that, you know, I think that's how I'm going to keep it. It's just chatting away, no real interruptions, no edits, because I feel like that's how it should be. Just got to talk away with it, and you know, I enjoyed it. So yeah, I'll be back again on Friday talking about game week 6, coming up to that Merseyside derby and also the Old Firm derby up in Scotland. Come on, you boys in green. Yeah, it's been a good one. So thanks for listening. Please subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And soon we'll be on YouTube. And hopefully within the next month or so, I'll be getting a co-host. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Again, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, wherever you can find us. It has been a pleasure. Again, I'm Ethan Morland, your host of Stoppage Time Podcast. Cheers for listening. Bye.